In fact, it had begun over a week ago, when Jackson acquired a new client. Two new clients, actually, although they came as a pair. Twins, in fact. Ian and Hazel, the pensionable-aged progeny of the recently deceased Dorothy Padgett. Jackson had not warmed to Hazel when she contacted him on the phone, but she wanted to meet in Ilkley, the scene of the crime, as she referred to it, and Ilkley boasted a Betty's Cafe tea rooms that Jackson had never visited. It wasn't the siren call of a toasted tea cake that drew him, so much as the promise of order, of sanctuary even. "A clean, well-lighted place," his ex, Julia, said when he had tried to explain the attraction. "That's Hemingway, and don't pretend you know that, because you don't." He didn't, but he was fairly sure you would never find Hemingway in Betty's, chomping on an iced fancy. Hemingway's loss. "And this is where the painting hung, in your mother's bedroom?" Jackson had asked, contemplating the ghostly outline, as if whatever had been on the wall had been vaporized. He was reminded of Hiroshima. He was in a dark mood, feeling the weight of history on his back. His teenage son, Nathan, clearly wasn't going to take up the burden.
"Yes," Hazel Sanderson, née Padgett, said. She had been a geography teacher before retiring.
When Jackson was at school, geography had consisted of tracing maps and colouring them in and getting a whack on the back of your hand with a wooden ruler if you made a mistake. Perhaps it had advanced since then. Perhaps not.
"It was a portrait," Ian said. "Small, about 10 by 10 without the frame, approximately," he added, in case he sounded as though he had measured it.
He had, Jackson thought. Ian was retired from insurance and had the dull, faded patina of someone who had spent their life indoors.
"You could add on another 2 inches for the frame," he went on. "It was fancy. Gold." "Not real gold," Hazel intervened hastily. "Obviously."
"The whole thing's missing," Ian continued. "Not cut from the frame the way that thieves usually do." He'd been on the internet, Jackson thought. "It was very, Ian searched for a word.
Portable,"
he concluded.
Portable?
Jackson didn't think he'd ever heard that word used for a work of art. Made sense, though, if you were going to steal one.
"Dated from the Renaissance," Hazel said.
"Renaissance?" Jackson hadn't expected that either. Surely Renaissance equated to worth a shed load of money. But what did he know? He would have been hard put to tell a Rembrandt from a Renoir. In the house Jackson grew up in, a Woolworth's print of Tretyakov's Chinese Girl was considered high art.
15th, perhaps 16th century,
Hazel elucidated, giving him a long look as if she was already doubting his capabilities. He supposed she was the sort of woman who thought he was an idiot from the get-go, although he seemed to meet no other kind these days. Hazel had a defensive stance, her folded arms resting on the rotund barrel of her middle. Visceral fat, Jackson thought darkly. He'd been learning, thanks to his daughter Marley, the ghost of the future.
"It was the portrait of a woman," Hazel continued. "Of course, we'd no idea who she is or who the artist was."
The two Padgetts stared at the space on the wall as if they could magic the anonymous subject back to life. "Valuable?" Jackson asked.
"Oh, we have no idea," Hazel said airily. "Probably not, Barry. It's valuable sentimental rather than monetary."
Hazel didn't give the impression of being someone who had much time for sentiment.
"It was never valued or put on the insurance," Ian added, tag-teaming with his sister. "Nothing like that."
No insurance? To Jackson, the Willows seemed like a house that put its faith in insurance. Ian certainly did. It had been his job for, what, 40 years?
45, Ian said. "Man and boy."
Jackson's soul shrank at the thought of nearly half a century of indentured labour.
"The painting had no provenance, as they say," Hazel said,
approaching the word carefully, as if it might be dangerous in some way. The word meant something to her, Jackson thought.
"Dad bought it cheap at an auction after the war, in a house clearance."
"Nobody wanted old stuff in those days, did they?" Ian said. Jackson had the distinct feeling that the two of them were reading from a script, one they'd agreed on beforehand. They were leaden actors, Ian particularly.
"Its origins are lost in the mists of time, I'm afraid," Hazel said. "It's been hanging in Mum's bedroom for as long as we can remember, hasn't it, Ian?"
Ian responded eagerly to his sister's prompt.
"Yes, yes," he said,
nodding in strenuous agreement.
He was going to hurt his neck if he wasn't careful, Jackson thought. Mum said she liked to see it when she woke up, he said, and when she fell asleep as well, I suppose. She loved that painting. The spectral remainder, a square of wallpaper framed by a faint nebula of dust, was on the wall opposite the small double bed that their mother had died in. Deathbed, Jackson thought. No more waking up for Dorothy Padgett. Ever. She must have slept with the door shut. That was the only way she would have been able to see the painting.